Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now.
To Star Trek From the Holodeck. I am Michael Flores, and I'm on the bridge of my ship, the USS Big Penis. Is that a good name? USS Big Penis? It's a mouthful. Hello, David.
Hello.
You're at the science console today.
Yes, I have a bottle of vintage Picard wine.
Oh, really? You're drinking on the job? That's how you do it? Yeah. All right. Well, today, Dave, we're going to be covering all the latest and greatest Star Trek news. And we have a lot. I don't know. Like I said, last news update show, it's like 2006. Or no, I'm sorry. It's like 1996.
Pretty much.
All these Star Trek shows and news. And man, it's just a great time. Really is. I'm so excited. We recently got the first footage from Picard, the new Star Trek spinoff series that has been titled Star Trek Picard. Now, I don't know how I feel about that name. It's very simple. You have Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek Enterprise, Star Trek Discovery, and then you have
Picard.
Star Trek Picard, which... Listen, it works. And from a marketing standpoint, that's probably why they went with that name. For all those people out there that are like under a rock or they're not paying attention to relevant Star Trek news, you have a name like Star Trek Picard, suddenly eyebrows raise. Like, holy shit, Star Trek Picard?
Yeah, because it is arguably one of the most iconic characters in all of Star Trek.
Yes. So it does make sense from a marketing standpoint. And I'm not going to complain about that because we need more eyes watching Star Trek. And also, it says something about the show, Dave. It clues us in that this show is going to be such a nuanced, character-driven series. When you have a show titled Picard, you don't really have time to go over here and over there and over here. It's going to be all about Picard.
Yes.
And isn't that what we want?
Honestly, yeah. When they first announced this series, this is what we wanted. We wanted a psychological look
into the mind of Picard. Yeah. Yeah, Dave. And we did get some little nuggets of info for those Star Trek fans that are nerds like us and know everything about Star Trek. In the teaser, if you know what to look for, kind of tells us what to expect. Yes, there are questions, and there should be. We want questions. We don't want to know what's going to happen going into a brand new TV show. And I got to say that, number one, the teaser was everything it needed to be. I have no complaints. I was excited.
Got zero complaints, yeah.
I mean, dude, just fantastic. It just felt like an extension of the last time we saw Picard. I mean, or at least from the TV show, especially with Chateau Picard,
yeah.
And the scenes taking place within the Picard's vineyard. It worked. And I'm super stoked to see what happens. Now, the big mystery is, Dave, in the trailer, they said 15 years ago, something happened. They alluded to the fact that 15 years ago, something happened that changed Picard's life, altered his perceived path, or what would be his path. Now, a lot of people are pointing to Nemesis and saying, well, something happened to Nemesis. Obviously, it's that. But that wouldn't stack up.
A a piece of the puzzle.
But that also doesn't stack up to what we know of the timeline currently.
Yes.
Number one, Picard, or I should say Patrick Stewart, not Picard, Patrick Stewart said recently on the red carpet that this show takes place 19 years in the future. And he says his quote, which is how time has passed since the last time I put on my spacesuit. And he says, I mean, for the television series. So basically, we're moving in real time.
Yes.
Okay, so 19 years has passed since Nemesis. So if 15 years, something happened, we have some years there to play with. 4 years. Now, we also have to remember, Dave, that the Kelvin films, J.J. Abrams' reboot franchise, also factors into this. And I'm happy, and I think they need to. And if they don't, I'd feel like it'd be remiss, because this is the time where you can bring those movies back into the fold rather than them being something of their own on the far left or far right side of Star Trek canon. We have these movies that, if we're not careful, are going to be dangerously. They're going to dangerously come down. They're going to veer very close to being just completely irrelevant. So how do we make Spock's last scene on film, Leonard Nimoy's last appearance on film, how do we make it resonate, Dave? That's the question. How do we make it resonate and make it matter to the overall Star Trek story? Well, again, we got to remember the story of Romulus, the explosion of Romulus, the start, the concept for the 2009 Star Trek IX J.J. Abrams reboot. The very concept started in the Prime universe. And when Spock was hurtled back in time after the explosion of Romulus, that's what created the Kelvin timeline.
Kelvin timeline.
Okay. But we do know, and it is canon, that the events that led to the creation of the Kelvin timeline took place in the Prime universe.
Yes.
That being said, that's roughly 4 years after the 15-year mark that was stated in the Picard teaser.
Yes.
So we have about 9 years to play with of what happened. And I have a strong feeling that the events of Picard and the things that we're going to see in that show are going to explain what happened, how Picard got from here to there to here, and they're going to connect it with Spock and the events of Romulus. Would that not make sense?
Oh, it would make complete sense, too, when you take a look at the Next Generation's history. One of the things that I actually realized just today, mm-hmm, was the fact that one of the issues or story arcs that Next Generation did was the whole Vulcan-Romulan thing.
Right, the reunification of the cousins?
The cousin species.
Yeah.
And toward the tail end of Next Generation, Romulus became a big story arc. And Picard played a huge role in trying to actually broker kind of like a peace treaty.
Well, there was,
and it bled into Nemesis.
Right. And there was an episode in TNG where people had thought Spock had defected to Romulus. And in actuality, he was working within the underground and trying to broker peace between Vulcan and Romulus. Now, whether or not he was ever successful, we may not ever know until now, because obviously his connection with Romulus ran deep. Look at the events in the 2009 Kelvin timeline Star Trek reboot. What was he doing? He was still working with Romulus. He was trying to save their home planet.
Yeah.
He failed, but we do know that even, 10 years later? At the time, it was 10 years later, he was still working
on it
with Romulus. Perhaps he did succeed. Maybe he did reunite the cousin species, Vulcan and Romulan. And that's why he was even there to assist. Ultimately, he failed in saving Romulus, but we do not know whether or not he failed or achieved his goal of reunification. Now, if we connect Picard into that, which he was a very big part of that storyline. He was a very big part of that storyline in TNG. And as we know, his connection with his clone and Nemesis. They kind of set the path for him to go into that whole Romulan storyline.
Yeah.
So for them to go in this direction would make sense. There's another thing we can look at. Alex Kurtzman, the man in charge of Star Trek at this moment. And he's apparently not going to go anywhere because he has been given more and more power and control. And I'm okay with that because he's doing a great job. But the very man who's in charge of the TV franchise was also an executive producer in all three Kelvin timeline movies.
Yes.
So would it not make sense? He also co-wrote them. So would it not make sense for him to want to bring those movies into the fold?
So like that's been one thing that Kurtzman's been saying is like he wants to do. He wants to give us that answer or that explanation how the Kelvin timeline and all that fits all together.
Yeah, and
it's been
and
something it just, that's been bugging Star Trek fans since the reboot started.
Yeah, and we already know how it works. We already know. We're not dumb. Most fans can figure out, okay, it makes sense. They're running in parallel. We get it. It was explained in the 2009 movie. But as fans of Star Trek, we want it to be vocally referenced in the prime timeline. That's obviously where we're going to spend most of our time now. Now, I'm not saying they need to say, hey, there's a Kelvin timeline or there's a split timeline. But they have to
actually make note of those.
Of the events.
Events that happen.
It would bring closure to those movies in some ways. If we're never going to go into those storylines again because of, you know, contract issues between Chris Pine and Paramount, then let's at least acknowledge them and give them some closure. And I think Picard's series can do that, especially when we look at, again, we look at the events in TNG and we see just how connected his story was to Spock. I don't think a lot of Star Trek fans remember how close they were in some of these stories. There was a great respect that they had for each other, both Spock and Picard. And if Spock can become the character that can be the staple of all Star Trek franchise, I mean, we see that he played a big role in Discovery. Wouldn't it make sense for them to continue to use Spock's story as a way to connect all of our shows?
Yeah.
Moving forward?
It would, because, like, I mean, he shows up in Discovery and he connects very well in that
one. He's in the Kelvin timeline movies. He's been in TNG. I think that's the way they're going to go. Obviously, they're not going to do everything we expect, just because that would be terrible writing. I'm sure they have their own tricks up their sleeves. But I think we can all rest easy that this will be the series that does, in fact, bring a lot of those things together.
The thing that intrigues me after seeing the teaser, though, okay, I get it. We're going to see Picard in his new chapter in his life. It's like 15 years after some great calamity that happened. Story-wise, this is just what I was like thinking when I saw the teaser. Why would that question be so important? Who's that important to answer? Is
what do you mean?
When he was being asked, right?
Yeah,
we see Picard all of a sudden, quote unquote, being interrogated. Why did you leave? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? I'm trying to figure out who's asking him. Is it the Federation? Well, the Federation would have known.
Or it can be a Star Wars The Force Awakens maneuver, and it's just somebody who knows of him. It's like, why did you leave? You did such great things, Picard.
And that's why
we must know.
My favorite thing about the whole teaser was the very end when you see Picard, and everyone, there's been a lot of people that have been putting this out there, is the fact that it harkens back to one of my favorite TNG episodes, which was The Four Lights. There are four lights. Mm-hmm. And the very famous scene where
there are four lights,
and I'm like going, seeing the two lights behind him. I'm like going,
dude, that's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah,
dude, I love that you thought about that. Dude, I'm such a Star Trek nerd. I'm like, there's two lights behind.
There's two lights behind.
I wrote that on our Instagram feed. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, Picard, but there's only two lights.
And I'm like going, I wonder if he's being interrogated by someone for some reason.
Nah. No, I don't think so, dude. But anything's possible.
Anything's possible. But I love the fact that my first inclination when I saw that was, hey, wait a minute. It's like Picard's back to the four light segment. We're going to see some really heavy. heavy duty acting from
definitely
Patrick Stewart. Listen,
Patrick Stewart is not going to put his spaceman suit on again 20 years later just to do some run of the mill sci-fi
stuff.
Yeah. It's going to be so character driven. It's insane. This could end up being, David, one of the greatest Star Trek series of all time.
It could.
Patrick Stewart by far is one of the best talents to ever grace the Star Trek screen. And that hurts me to say that because I love William Shatner and I love all these other actors we have gotten throughout the years.
But you look at like the skill.
I mean, he's Shakespearean as hell, dude. He embodies Gene Roddenberry's vision in so many ways. Patrick Stewart is Shakespearean.
Yes.
So, dude, I feel, are in for a treat.
I'm hoping that basically it's going to be so good that this could be one of the first Star Treks that gets nominated for an award.
You know what? It's Patrick Stewart.
Anything's possible.
Now, the cool thing is that a lot of people are going to have access to this show. CBS is not messing around. They went for a very, I don't want to say lucrative. I'm sure they're going to have to pay out the ass, but based on various rumors. But Amazon has received international distribution rights for Star Trek Picard, which will put this series in over 200 markets, David.
That's huge.
Those types of deals are fucking unheard of in this day and era of television.
Yeah.
A CBS All Access show will be seen in 200 additional markets. Now, for those people that are confused, a lot of people are saying, oh my God, Amazon is going to stream this? This is weird. I thought it was CBS All Access. CBS All Access is the home of Star Trek Picard and all future Star Trek series, except for the cartoon coming out on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
They handle domestic distribution as well. They are still producing, obviously, but internationally, CBS All Access is not where they need to be yet when it comes to a streaming platform.
Yeah, they need a distributor.
Very few people are. People, I know, probably get confused with streaming. It's no different than the old days. You would have Columbia distribute the film domestically, and then you'd have Universal International do everything else in the 200 plus markets overseas. Streaming is the exact same thing, except the platform and the transport method has changed. So CBS All Access is handling domestic here nationally, and then internationally, Amazon's taking the reins. And it should be a big signal for Netflix to be careful.
Yes.
Because Netflix has the Discovery rights internationally.
Yes.
They also have the DC Universe rights. Almost every streaming platform that's only domestic uses Netflix to distribute their content internationally. Now, here comes Amazon. Already 2 or 3 years ago, they were rumored to be neck and neck when it comes to their international reach. I want to say 9 months ago, it was announced that they finally beat out Netflix in India, which is one of the biggest television and film markets in the world. Amazon just nudged past Netflix.
Yes.
So the fact that Amazon got the Picard series, not only is it great for Star Trek because more eyes are going to see it, but that's a great get for Amazon. So that's why you're seeing all this publicity and you're getting this confusion. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's on Amazon. No, it's on CBS All Access. Yes. Amazon has international rights and it's a big fucking deal. You're talking 200 markets. That's why you keep seeing that pop up in the headlines, because it's a big deal.
You're talking about a global game changer.
Yeah.
And that's what Star Trek is trying to do. They're trying to reestablish the franchise globally, not just stateside.
How long have we been saying this? See, this is why we need to be television executives, because how long have we been saying this is their plan? For 3 years, we've been saying that Star Trek has to reestablish their footprint on the world.
On the world.
Because they let themselves die for 20 years. Why they did nothing. They tried to do a Kelvin timeline movies. They did good for a couple of years, but they didn't resonate and didn't captivate the audiences like years past.
Yeah.
Not because they weren't good, but because the landscape for entertainment drastically changed. Exactly. Right now, everybody wants the superhero movies. And if you're not making superhero movies, you're not making the big bucks.
No.
So Star Trek, unfortunately, missed the boat. And now they have to rebuild. Otherwise, this franchise will not last. And we won't even be able to get movies because we don't have budgets for it. That's the reason why we're not getting Star Trek 4 in the Kelvin timeline, because the last movie made something like $300 million internationally. I think almost $400 million internationally, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with a franchise like Star Trek, it's just not enough to justify making another movie or giving people ridiculous salaries like Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth both wanted to reprise their roles in Star Trek 4.
Yeah, because that's the movie landscape. That's the movie landscape right now. That's the film landscape.
Yes.
That's why it was a very smart move for Star Trek to say, okay, let's pull back on the film side. And a lot of people say, oh, they just want to get away from Paramount. But in actuality, this was the smartest strategy because you have to return to your roots. Star Trek was a TV show. It started that way. That's its bread and butter.
Yeah. And honestly, Dave, none of this is going to matter soon anyways when it comes to Paramount and CBS, because this merger is probably going to go through.
It probably is.
And Paramount and CBS will be one company, and then the movie rights and the TV rights will be under one umbrella again, and Alex Kurtzman will be dabbling in both.
But still, it goes back to what we've been saying since day one. Mm-hmm. They have to reestablish their franchise.
Yes. And the reason why they're doing this Amazon 200-plus market is because they're paying out the asshole on this series. And the reason why is because you are asking a super A-plus celebrity like Patrick Stewart to return to Star Trek. They're willing to pay the deed. They're willing to pay the goods, whereas Paramount was not willing to pay Chris Pine the goods. And yep, understandably, Chris Pine is not a name like Patrick Stewart. But CBS is like, all right, well, in order to get Patrick Stewart, we have to give away a lot in the back end.
Yes.
And this is a rumor coming from a very reliable source. And according to them, I'm not going to say their name. According to them, CBS All Access had to give up a lot of profit points in order to get Patrick Stewart back in the seat. And they had to acquiesce to many of his demands. And not because he's a diva. Patrick Stewart's an amazing man. Everyone loves the guy.
Yeah.
But he's an older gentleman. He wanted to film at a specific studio. It was not a CBS studio. The reports are saying that it was an independent film studio that was owned by a private individual. So they are not in complete control. Even the story was dictated a lot by Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
And I think they're okay with that because they realize that, A, Patrick Stewart isn't a schlub. Number two, he deserves it. Number three, he's going to bring in the audience. And even though Discovery will always be looked at as the series that relaunched Star Trek, Patrick Stewart's series will be the series that recaptivates the world. It will.
It will.
It will. And that's why they're willing to give up a lot of their profit points, because they know that in the end, this is going to be the series they need to truly reach that global audience. And that's why they went with the Amazon deal. And going with that Amazon deal, they also are losing a lot of money. They're not making nearly as much money as Amazon will internationally.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's about establishing yourself to that audience.
Yes.
And then down the line, they could say, okay, we're going to take some of that profit back with future series because our name's already established out there and we could carry this now.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so get more Star Trek from the Holodeck every single month. More podcast episodes delivered to your ear holes vigorously and hard, however you like it, when you head over to patreon.com/remandigital and pledge $5 or more a month, because you will gain access to more discussions, more Star Trek themed episode discussions where we talk about the poetry of Star Trek. We get very pretentious on some of those discussions. We go into the Borg and what they're really saying with the Borg. Group thought. Control, hive mind thinking. We get into discussions on the Maquis and the perspective of terrorism. But those discussions are only available as a bonus to our Patreon subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/ringmandigital and pledge. You will not be sorry. Also, it helps us continue to do these high quality discussions.
It's like a Spock mind meld from the Final Frontier.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Unfortunately,
it only hurt a little bit.
Yes. And I will not. Never mind.
We're not going down that dark path.
No. All right, Dave. Now, just to kind of stay on the same path here, and we're talking about the rebranding and the potential global dominance that Star Trek may be able to do here soon, especially with the launch of Picard. This is a smart move, Dave, by CBS. Very smart. But they're not stopping there. Star Trek isn't going anywhere for the foreseeable future. Thank God. Star Trek CBS names Veronica Hart head of new global franchise group. They're going Lucasfilm Limited here.
Yes.
They're going Disney. They created a whole other branch within CBS just to handle Star Trek. This has not been done in decades.
Yeah.
CBS is doing all it can to make sure the Star Trek franchise lives long and prospers. The network has announced it's launching a Star Trek global franchise group that will manage and maximize the expansion of the brand beyond the traditional boundaries of linear broadcasting and streaming, with the goal of broadening the Star Trek fan community through multiple avenues such as podcasts. Hey, can we get up on that? Can we get an Amazon deal, please?
We need an Amazon deal.
Yeah. New digital spaces and live experimental events. The news comes as CBS continues its push to expand the Star Trek universe. The multiple Star Trek series, in addition to Discovery, which are now in the works, include the animated Star Trek Lower Decks, which we discussed that, a CG animated Nickelodeon series, an untitled Captain, well, it is titled now.
It is titled now.
A Star Trek Picard series centered on, of course, Picard, and then a show featuring Michelle Yeoh's character from Star Trek Discovery, which will also be on CBS All Access. Now, leading the unit will be Veronica Hart, Executive Vice President of the newly formed Star Trek Global Franchise Management. Can we send our resumes to them? I want to work for Star Trek Global Franchise Management.
At this point, yeah.
I mean,
would love it.
Do you think their uniforms are going to be like Star Trek uniforms?
We're all going to wear a little badge. Section 31.
Oh, so we don't really have uniforms then? That sucks, Dave.
No, we get the special little black communicators.
Okay. I'll be happy with that. Hart will manage the Star Trek global brand strategy to support the content development plans, which are being shepherded by Alex Kurtzman, of course, who is under an overall deal at CBS TV and executive produces the various Star Trek series. The unit will report to David Stamp, president of CBS Television Studios. Veronica and her team, he says, are not only gifted brand strategists and veteran consumer product executives, there are also experts on the Star Trek canon. That's a plus. That's right a there. Plus. You gotta have love for Star Trek. If you're in charge of the Star Trek global franchise management team, you better be a fan of Star Trek. Otherwise, get the hell out of here. Get out my ship.
Get off my ship.
He says, we are excited to launch this new business and unit because the brand has an enormously rabid fan base. And we look forward to expanding its reach even further. They're thinking ahead, Dave. We've been saying this. And they're doing it. Thank God they're doing it with Star Trek, Dave. Because they could have chosen any other franchise. And yet they're going with Star Trek.
Yeah.
An established brand that's tried and true. They just need to remind people yet again that it's great. He says, as we expand the Trekverse, Veronica's team and Secret Hideout are dedicated to broadening Star Trek's brand reach by amplifying its core values globally: empowerment, inclusion, imagination, and above all, the exceptional storytelling that's inspired generations of fans, says Kurtzman. Thank you, Kurtzman. Thank you for saying above all. the exceptional storytelling. Because I hate that nowadays. Obviously, you know, if I love Star Trek, I'm fine with inclusion, right?
Yeah.
And that's obvious. Do I really need to explain that? But what Trek. Do I always say is most important? Story. Because I hate all these people nowadays that say, yeah, you know, moving forward, our focus is going to be on tolerance, equality,
acceptance,
and inclusion and acceptance. You forgot story, asshole. Where are you going to put story in there? Because you can have all that stuff. That's fine. But above all, it needs to be story. Thank you, Alex Kurtzman. The man gets it. This is why he's doing a good job.
Because Kurtzman understands you have to entertain us.
Yeah.
Entertain your fan base. Are
you not entertained?
You have to entertain the fan base. Because if you just do things that basically are based on inclusion, acceptance, and social politics.
Yeah.
All you attract is are just trolls.
And there's no substance.
There's no substance.
If you do all that stuff without a story, then there's no substance. It's just you standing on a soapbox. And this is why, getting off subject for a second, this is why I got upset at the press release recently that was dropped on us from the Marvel CEO. The man in charge, Feige.
Yeah, Kevin Feige.
He says, yeah, you know, moving into phase four, our goal is equality and inclusion.
I fucking was pissed off about that.
I'm like,
that.
Dude, story, bro. Yeah. The reason why you've excelled for the last 10 years is because you've had a nuanced story led by Robert Downey Jr.'s overarching storyline. That is what has kept the entire MCU together for 11 years now. A fabulous story told for the most part from one man's perspective. Yes, there's other films, other perspectives, but what's the governing arc? Tony Stark. You should have said that.
You should have said that.
You know what? Tony Stark is out. Robert Downey Jr. is going to retire from the role, but moving forward, we're going to focus on story. And that's why I love Alex Kurtzman, because the dude is liberal as hell, and he should be. And he's definitely trying to put in those liberal ideals, and he should be. It's Star Trek. But never, ever replace story for agenda, ever.
Yes, absolutely.
And so far, I don't feel like they're doing it. There were moments in the first season where I felt like,
First season of Discovery, where I was like, a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, you guys need to focus a little bit more on this rather than this. We get it. Women are people too. Like you're not telling us anything new, bro.
Yeah.
Like you're the asshole trying to prove it. We understand. Women are people. If you don't think they're people too, you're a dickhead.
You're a dickhead.
So luckily season two veered away from that. And it was just more of a well-told story.
It focused on narrative.
Right. And through a proper story. And if you're being true to how people interact with each other, guess what's going to be there? Inclusion. Equality.
Exactly.
So thank you, Alex Kurtzman. Keep doing what you're doing.
And that's the thing that basically baffles me is like, I'm glad you brought up the Kevin Feige thing, because like it is a really strong parallel of how to deal with franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Like it baffles me that Kevin Feige goes from this franchise that he focused on this story that's what, 12 years old?
Yeah.
And 22 movies. And then he basically says, oh, but we're going to actually focus on something else, less superficial. And I'm like going, no, that's not how you deal with a franchise. Then you look at Alex Kurtzman where he says, but overall, it's the storytelling that we're going to focus on. Why? Because that's how you set your footprint. You have to make, if you're trying to actually make your franchise stick out in the world, not just in the States, but in the world, you better have something else besides an agenda, because agendas kill franchises. Look at Doctor Who.
An agenda can be like a narrative thread that you use to keep your story together.
Yes, if it's just there, just for an agenda's sake, it kills a franchise. As I was saying, like this, I cite Doctor Who, Star Wars to some degree, an agenda almost killed it. And then when you look at Marvel, Marvel kind of had those missteps where it was like, we're going to do this agenda piece. And, you know, people eye roll and it kind of ruins the narrative that you're telling.
Yeah. Yeah. So story is key. And it looks like they're on the right track. Now, getting back to this whole global management group that will be handling Star Trek, not only are we getting, you know, obviously more TV, but when you create a group like this, it's because it's no, because Alex Kurtzman's in control of the TV.
Yeah.
This group is going to manage everything else. Which, what does that entail, David? Podcasts? Great. That's what they mentioned. Okay, fine. Podcasts are easy. Well, for CBS, I'm sure. If you want high quality, it does take time and money. That's why I'm dying over here. But when you're CBS, come on. That's a drop in the bucket for your budget. But according to various articles, this deal will also include video games. Which, Dave, if we can start getting video games that are connected to the TV shows, books, and I'm also hoping, and I know there's going to be some people rolling their eyes, Dave, and sighing, because I'm a canon whore, and I want canon to be, I want everything to be canon. Perhaps this might be, Dave, their first step in possibly considering canon-compliant tie-in media.
Which would be fantastic.
Why create a group like this?
Yeah.
You already have Alex Kurtzman that's in charge of your TV. You already have Kirsten Beyer who's in charge of your tie-in media. And they're all, for the most part, they all answer to Kurtzman for the time being. Everything else is going on. Now Yes. You have this new group being formed. Are they going to attempt at possibly doing canon tie-in media? And not just books. Comics.
It's a way of organizing everything.
And
that's why
games.
I see it is like putting this group together is organizing all those elements that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where someone has to be able to control it. I mean, look at the Star Wars story group as an example.
Right.
You have all these minds all working together as one to keep a universe alive. Essentially, when I heard this, when this group being formed for Star Trek, They're essentially trying to do the same thing to control the creative storytelling of their universe. And it makes sense because it's something that me and you have always been harping about Star Trek is one of the major weaknesses is a lot of the tie-in stuff are very loosely tied in. Like sometimes you don't.
And they're not canon. So sometimes you're like, eh.
I mean, why did I read this?
Right.
Why did I watch this?
Right. There are books. There are books like we discussed in our last show written by James Swallow, Fear Itself. There are books that you can easily explain into canon. Like, oh, this works. And I don't see it possibly ever being destroyed. It works. But sometimes you want those canon stories. And if they can't completely control the playing field like Lucasfilm is doing, because it does require a lot of money, a lot of manpower. There's a lot of people working behind the scenes in their own little group that's called the Lucasfilm Story Group. But why not create a line of books, perhaps? A line of stories that is canon. Maybe not everything, but you can even put it on the cover. A canon-compliant story.
Yes.
And then kind of start small. Not saying everything needs to be canon compliant. Just pick a certain storyline. Maybe use an entirely different crew. They've done that for years with that other TV show. I forgot, or that other book series. I forgot what it's called now, but it's called. It's essentially a Star Trek TV series. But it's never been a series. It was a book. And it started, I want to say, in the late 90s. And I believe it's still going on. Give me a second. I'm going to look it up.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's USS Titans or something.
No, that's the continuation story of TNG with Riker in charge of USS Titan. But I have the first three books, and I want to say I bought them in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. And they were basically a Star Trek TV show that never was produced, essentially. That was the whole concept behind it. Was, hey guys, here's a whole new story with a whole new crew, whole new vessel.
Yeah.
And these are their ongoing stories.
And a lot of fans always wanted, I remember that fans wanted to see this series turned into a TV show.
It was very popular
because it became so popular. Yeah. And some of those characters to hardcore Star Trek fans became just as important as some of the characters you mass audiences saw on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they were to do something like that, that would work as well. Just a way to kind of, I think it's called New Frontier. Yes. It's New Frontier, Star Trek, New Frontier, I believe. Yes, here it is right here. Star Trek New Frontier was the first Star Trek book line not to be based on a television series. The novels followed the crew of the USS Excalibur.
Excalibur, that's the one.
Yeah, under the command of Mackenzie Calhoun and created by John J. Ordover and written by Peter David. So some big names involved in that.
It was a really good series because I remember the everyone wanted to it was funny because like when there were times when you saw the fleet a lot of fans would actually be wondering, oh, is the USS Excalibur here? And yeah. Like other fans would be going, what the hell are you talking about? And it's like, you got to read the books.
Yeah, I liked them. Like I said, I read the first three books, I believe. I think I still have them in my library in the back. But yeah, they started in 1997. Wow, they went to 2015.
Yeah. That's one of those ones that I think that me and you need to cover because not a lot of people. The New Frontier.
All right.
Because the New Frontier was actually, it spawned a really rare thing where it's like, wow, they created a crew that became so beloved by a lot of Star Trek fans.
Yeah. I remember when Enterprise came out, people were like, why Enterprise? We should have done
the New Frontier.
Yeah, the New Frontier. And you know what? That would have been cool, but it kind of went against their plan. Their whole idea was just to do a book series on a
original crew.
Right. That wasn't based on a TV series. And I think they did that so they can have a lot of creative freedom and they can do pretty much whatever they want. So if they were to do that, if this global franchise group that CBS has started for Star Trek, if they decide to start a new series that is canon compliant, I think that's smart. I think that would be awesome to do that. What a great way to promote a movie. Hey, guys, here's this movie. Find out what happens within the opening days before the movie. You know, just like Star Wars does. Star Wars does that, and it brings in tons of money. I think it could really work for Star Trek. There is definitely a buying audience out there for Star Trek. It's one of those fandoms that likes to spend money on things that they love, which is Star Trek. So, all right, Dave, any little final thoughts on today's Star Trek news and updates? Anything you want to share before we close out today's discussion?
Oh, I'm really psyched to actually see what Picard, going back to what we were talking about, the Picard series, because it's opened up some interesting old wounds from Star Trek fans. I've noticed people have come up with interesting theories about what it could be covered. They tie it into. And the thing I love about it, dude, the difference between I've noticed Star Trek theories and Star Wars theories, people pluck them out of the air. They just basically say it's land. She's related because she's black.
Oh, come on.
Stuff like that. It's but true. In Star Trek,
yeah,
they basically say, no, this happened in this past episode. And they cite it back from TNG days. And
because Star Trek fans are thinkers, Dave.
I hate to say it, but yeah, we are thinkers because it's kind of like we have so much history in our franchise.
Star Trek mythos is deep. It runs deep.
Deep.
And if you remember your Star Trek teachings, you will recall from time to time. Yeah, I'm super excited for Star Trek. Everything Star Trek. Everything that's coming at us. If you have not listened to our What We Left Behind, looking back at Star Trek Deep Space Nine documentary review, please check it out. You can find it now on our feeds. All you have to do is search Star Trek From the Holodeck if you're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and it should pop right up. It's amazing. If you're a Deep Space Nine fan, you definitely want to listen to it. We did not drop any spoilers. We just solely did a breakdown and review. We didn't want to ruin it for anybody because it will be available on Blu-ray as well as on streaming services starting, I believe, August 6th. So just a few short months away, you'll be able to enjoy it. It's definitely worth watching out, or it's definitely worth checking out as well.
It is.
I mean, the documentary does not just serve up nostalgia, but it also serves a very interesting introspective, serves as a very interesting introspective for director Ira Stephen Burr and the cast as they look back at the sci-fi series that was both innovative and groundbreaking.
And it brings up what if questions too, because my favorite parts are like the, with Ira and that writing crew that,
okay, simmer down.
That was awesome.
You always like to spoil things for people. You're a spoiler, David. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to this week's discussion. Please leave us reviews and give us thumbs up on social media. If you want to talk and communicate, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/StarTrekFromTheHolodeck. You can also find us on Twitter at @FromTheHolodeck. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.